Welcome, child of God, to another life-changing sermon from Reverend Sydney Alamensa. This is the Sydney Alamensa Podcast. Today, the man of God speaks to us on a sermon titled, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthroughs. This is part four. Stay tuned and be blessed.
You want to clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're supposed to have a love chapter today, but something happened. Amen. And I'll keep it to myself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I welcome you to the Believer Service once again, and we want to continue our series, hallelujah, on fasting for spiritual breakthrough. Someone say fasting for spiritual breakthrough. And tonight we want to quickly look at Samuel's fast. Samuel, hallelujah. We want to look at Samuel's fast. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 8. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58 verse 6 to 8, the King James Version. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6 to 8, the King James Version. And I read, says that, is not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Verse 7. It says that is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? For thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seekest the naked, thou covered him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth. Somebody say, light, break forth. It says that, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Amen. I want you to turn to me to the book of First Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 to 12. First Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 to 12. Are we there? Have you opened? First Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 to 12. And I read, it says that, and the men of Kijarit Jarim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kijarit Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods. Someone say strange gods. Oh, come on, say strange gods. And put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. Someone say Mizpah. Say Mizpah. And I will pray for unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. Someone say drew water. Say drew water. And poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day. Someone say fasted. Say fasted. And fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Someone say, we have sinned. Say, we have sinned. Say, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And verse 7, when the Philistine heard that the children of Israel were gathered together as Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord, our God, for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Somebody say, save us. Say, save us. And Samuel took a stucking lamp and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Somebody say, cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord tended with a great tender on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Verse 11, it says that, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines. Somebody say, pursued. Say, pursued. It says that, and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Betka. Verse 12, the last verse. Then Samuel took a stone. Somebody say, a stone. Say, a stone. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called the name of it Ebenezer. Somebody say, Ebenezer. Say, Ebenezer. Saying, here too had the Lord helped us. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. How many of us have heard the word Ebenezer before? What's the meaning of Ebenezer? Hallelujah. Amen. If you read Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 8, verse 6, it says that, is it not the fast I have chosen? It says that to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. If the Bible is yours, or if you have a notebook, I want you to write a word, to let the oppressed go free. To let the oppressed go free. To let the oppressed go free. Hallelujah. Remember, we are speaking on Samuel's fast. Samuel's fast. I told you for these past weeks that there are a lot of fasting that most of us, we do not know. Amen. We have the Daniel fast. We have the Ezra's fast. We have the Esther's fast. We have the Samuel's fast. We have the disciples' fast. Now, sometimes the one tea fasting now we are not see. Who fasted by now? Who could hunger strike? Hallelujah. So who did the crank and fast also? Amen. Because we are fasting, but you do not understand the fasting you are doing. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is that throughout history, some of the greatest revivals has come out through fasting. Throughout history, some of the greatest revival has come out through fasting. Amen. There's somebody sitting by your side. Just hold their hand gently. Just stretch for your hand behind you and tell the person, revival. Say, revival. You see, most of time zones, you can revival. What we are thinking about is the Holy Ghost will hit us and will fall down and all that. But revival does not only hit our personal lives. The revival also hit the church as well. As far as I hit the church, no, it also hit our personal lives as well. Am I communicating? So there can be revival in you and there can be revival in the church. Am I communicating? And that is why individually, Nyankopon e using kofobia e aye dwenwa yen tiase. Where individually nyame pejo mo e we families any ebusuemu, sometimes we do not understand. But there are individual revival and there are corporate revival. But tonight I pray that there will be an individual revival in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. There was this man beneath a friend, Jonathan Edwards. Amen. Jonathan Edwards. Now, he preached a famous sermon. Sermon of preaching, you know, your friend of sinners in the hand of an angry God. Sinners in the hand, sinners in the hand of an angry God. Na me ameti sa asem we amedwane. Sinners in the hand of an angry God. Just say nyame no bu afu. Am I communicating? Ohu nyoma bia e koso an bu afu. Na Jonathan Edwards ene na e wo screen so betumi ahwe. Jonathan Edwards. Hallelujah. On no preaches our sermon. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he lived around 1703 and then 1758. Hallelujah. Now, proud to the message we sinners in the hands of an angry God. No. Before we preach the message, you know, first here. Am I communicating? You move Ben, maybe I echo interview cry a fast. You did me a D, a jollof of near your bank near your energy. Hallelujah. You know, there are times where somebody even says, listen, you know, and I say, but we go and see the person and we go with our carnal audience and go and see the person. Am I communicating? But you see, if we are not, if say, ati fasting my church for all these weeks, now you are Esther fasting. Who says a who copeni be in for favor be a who to mean cosada as jidini as a cell fasting? What you must say? Because favor and now honum quao. Hallelujah. Favor does not just come like that. Amen. That there are some times spiritually you need to push it with fasting. Hallelujah. So history actually said Jonathan Edwards, before he preached this message, he fasted for 24 hours, not 3 hours. He fasted for what? For 24 hours. Now, after he fasted and he preached that message, there was a great awakening in the entire New England estate. So sometimes we have some musicians or gospel music. I want to speak on our side, not on the secular side. There's some gospel musicians. Sometimes you give them the opportunity and they have to go and minister. Some of them, they fast and they pray. Because you are dealing with souls. Am I communicating? You are dealing with what? With souls. And you have some men of God that sometimes, you know, when you get a preaching appointment and you have to go and speak somewhere, some of them, they fast before they go and speak. Of fasting, you know, there was a great awakening in the entire New England estate. And of fasting for 24 hours. Somebody say fasting. So fasting, it leads to what? Revival. Am I communicating? Fasting, it leads to what? Revival. Hallelujah. Now, Jonathan Edwards made some statement. Now, some statement you'll make here, I want to read some to you. Or see, the state of the times extremely requires a fullness of divine spirit in ministers. And we ought to give ourselves no rest till we have obtained it. And he said, and in order to do this, I should think ministers above all persons ought to be much in secret prayer and fasting. Ought to be much in secret prayer and what? And fasting. And also much in praying and fasting one with another. It seems to me it will be becoming the circumstance of the present day. If ministers in a neighborhood will often meet together and spend days in fasting and fervent prayer among themselves, earnestly seeking for extraordinary supplies of divine grace from heaven that we need in this day. And that was what he said. Listen, in Shrebi Owa, a man just sad out. You have to fast and pray. Amen. And sometimes, you know, it is not just only when pastor declares fasting. I have said this, that you need to have a routine fasting life for yourself. That you would obey Becca say, for me, on my day of birth, I fast. Listen, I encourage long fasting, but I also respect short fasting, which is sincere. So if I know I'm fasting 6 to 12, it is sincere. I communicate and it is genuine. Not the kind of fasting when it's 10 o'clock, you are fasting 6 to 12. When it's 10, you go and check the time small. Hallelujah. And when it's 11 o'clock, you sleep small, you sleep. When it's 1 to 12, you say, Father, thank you for this fast. Amen. If you are like that, may you repent in Jesus' name. Amen. And you see, that some fasting is a spiritual breakthrough. Okay, and you see, we blame our pastors, we blame, we say, one more, why? Why am I fasting here? But fasting, one year. Am I communicating? One year. There are some who, when they declare fasting 6 to 12, and Nasa, a ball one, Kobo 1 to 12, no, I started bumpy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. That fasting is a mass spiritual breakthrough. Intina Onyanku Ponka say, is this the kind of faster I have chosen, Anna? It's not fasting now, it's down about 5 minutes now, because it's so suma there, it's spiritual. You are not fighting in the flesh, it's spiritual. Intimun to me, na sana. I can 1 minute now, or say, Eradu Timas here, into what? Answer my prayer. Some Pibon in Yamin tear. That is like is hunger, is starvation. And who would dear crown come for so my communicate. It is Jonathan Edwards Eka say there has to be sincerity word in our fasting. My communicating. Hallelujah. It is a revival will happen in our homes and in our family. Then we need to understand that there is something called fasting. Someone say fasting. Say fasting. So I certainly believe that this sort of fasting has the ability to assist us to become what God wants us to become. In fact, fasting is a process and it helps us to endure and to overcome hardships in this world. Sometimes we fast, but when we fast, am I communicating? Hallelujah. In 1859, another revival happened. And this revival happened through Charles Finney. If his picture is there, put it for me. Somebody say Charles Finney. Say Charles Finney. Now, Charles Finney was an evangelist. And his primary, how God used him, it happened or it bettered in in factories, and they used their lunch time. To some factories, you are your bobber. I think it's even in this time. Some of the fact they ring a bell or something. Is it true? They ring a bell and then it means that it's lunch time. So they had a bell, they ring it, and then everybody will move. And some individual decided that, listen, we'll use that time to pray for revival for the nation. And during that time, they secluded themselves, went to a place, and then they started praying and they fasted as well. And out of that fasting and praying, in embracing the spirit of unity, God brought revival in the nation. And it was through Charles Finney. Somebody say Charles Finney. If you look at this man, how God used him so powerfully, it did not just come from a place of eating 365 days in your life. No. It came to a place of understanding what fasting can do for you. Listen, I have seen people that have fasted and God has extraordinary miracles and breakthrough in your life. Baby, bit to be biswa, and ye did in now. A year, a country, and in Bible. My communicating. A sincere fasting and praying. It's not just about, you know, there are some things, and yet prayer, yes, God answers prayer. But there are certain things you need to push. Listen, I can guarantee you, if you sincerely, even if it's 6 to 10, and you sincerely fast, maybe 1 week, 6 to 10, and wait upon God, I'm telling you, God can break you through. Can I have a witness here? Now, last week we talked about disciples fast, but because Samuel's fasting. What is Samuel? Please forgive me, I'm mixing a bit of English with you. Now when the grace come like that, I love it that way. Amen. Because Samuel's fast. What is the meaning? Somebody says Samuel's fast. Samuel's fast focused more on inwardly Somebody say inwardly. It focuses more on inwardly and your personal walk with God. And then it breaks certain stronghold in your life. So when we talk about the Samuel's fast, it turns outward and involves inward restoration. So God works on you on the inside and on the what? On the outside. Am I communicating? So Samuel's fast, number one, it brings restoration. Number two, it brings renewal. Number three, it brings revival to the church. Am I communicating? So Obi Beka said, when should we get involved in Samuel's fast? Now, we need to understand that this fasting has a purpose. And Salman Weah, a friend of Charles Finney, during his time, he asked certain questions. And the question he asked was that, when is a revival needed in churches and among Christians? When do we need revival? Look at somebody and say, when do you need revival? You see, if you don't understand it, say, in my life, when do I need revival? Like, when do I need revival? What is happening in my life that I need revival? You see, as I may catch you, say, you need revival. You ask me, what is it in my life that I need revival? Maybe you'll be thinking that we see Kasemin Koye until we need revival. Maybe your family aka in a certain level of their lives and your man koye, so you need revival. But in Ukraine, he said, is it the kind of revival nyami piana? Am I communicating? I've seen people fast that God give me money. See, yeah, fast here, we need to understand some foundation on fasting. Am I communicating? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. When you set your purpose on fasting, it's good. That God, this year I want you to break me out because I have been stagnant in my life for years. You set your purpose on a fast. It's good. You don't fast like there is no agenda and there is no purpose. Before we finish this, and this will be my last week, God willing, next week we'll do the talk it over session. We'll meet in circles, out of camera, and we'll break it down. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. But before we end, I'm going to teach you something. Because sometimes we fast, but we don't receive breakthroughs. Yeah. We fast, but we don't receive breakthroughs. Let me give a testimony before I continue. When we did our 50 days fasting. Hallelujah. The family were in a very tight situation where we had issues with our vehicle. You know, and we're contemplating how we're actually going to manage through the year because a lot of things were happening. This car breaks down, this breaks down. Immediately we finished the 50 days fasting. My boss called me. And he said, is this vehicle, is this, and he wanted me to accompany him to the showroom, even go and choose the kind of, and he said, you are the one who's going to use it. And this took 50 days of when one day when I was there and they brought me snacks and it was passing through my nose. And I heard a voice say, oh, dear, Didi, Kakrayan here. One day, pe. And I said, hey, at the length and breadth and sacrifice up. No. This thing, I can eat it and eat more when I'm done with the fast. I communicate. And look at how tight and how deepening it was for that favor to come. And it couldn't have been there. I'm telling you, it couldn't have been. But that's what fasting can do. Am I communicating? Somebody say someone's fast. So Charles Finney listed some answers that says that when do we need revival as a church and as an individual? When do you need revival? He said something. He said, number one, he said a revival is needed when there is lack of brotherly love and Christian camaraderie among professionals of religion. So when there is no brotherly love amongst ourselves, we need what? We need to fast for revival. When there is dissension and jealousy and evil speaking among individuals, we need revival. Am I communicating? When there is a worldly spirit in the church, when Christians begin to conform to the manner of the world, we need what? Revival. Am I communicating? When the church find its members crumbling in sin and decay, it is the time that we need what? Revival. And that is why in a period of City of His Presence in August, we have a 3 days program that we call the Awakening Experience. Am I communicating? It says that when there is a spirit of controversy in the church, we need a revival. It says when unbelievers revile the church and triumphs over it, they speak ill and evil about the church. This is here. They are sorry. Yeah, sorry. We need what? Revival. Somebody say revival. When Christians are careless of their actions and become unconcerned about their consequences, it is time for the church to receive a stirring. And the church needs what? A revival. Hallelujah. Amen. So Charles Finney points out the very picture of when a revival is needed in the church and in the lives of an individual. But the truth of the matter is that revival is not an automatic experience. Somebody say it's not automatic. I want you to write it down. Revival is not automatic. Because revival is something to be desired and prayed for. You see, if I want God to revive an area of my life, if I need some form of revival in an area of my family, it's not automatic. I need to desire. Are you understanding? Am I communicating? I need to desire and I have to pray for it. That God, I need this revival in my life. Number two, God is the source of all real revival and it comes from His presence. He is the source of all real revival. If there is any genuine revival, God is the source. Am I communicating? Number three, revival has a way to bring back refreshing result to the individual and to the church. It is a win here. There are some things that you need in your life. You need revival. It is only God that can bring it. So when I go into a place of Samuel fast, I'm saying that, Lord, there is some area of my life I need revival. Am I coming? You know, how many of us have genuinely, listen, genuinely, when we traveled to Rwanda, we went to one of the renowned men of God. Like in Ghana, it's like Archbishop Dankwamiliam. In Rwanda, one of the men of God that have the biggest church in Rwanda, went to his house. He was sharing some of his experience. And he has a prayer room, a place that he prays, communicate. And look at how God is using him. When you enter, you could see that things are working. Am I communicating? You see, you do a stage in our life. Huh? We cannot just walk into me for any two way and nantie babum keke. We need to be spiritual. And one of the ways for us to be deep spiritual is to touch the spirit. And the only way to touch the spirit is not about carnality. It's about your spirit. Am I communicating? Well, let me ask you a question. Well, sometimes, there's a dream man, who did this? Come on. What? You're looking at me like you're not real. I'm real. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can tell that your spirit man is far away. Your desire for the word of God and for... And yeah, sorry, Aoba, Sunday in Kakankra. I want Pascal that. Because you could just feel that your spirit is far gone. It's gradually gone. No prayer, no reading of his word, no fasting. Your spirit man is gradually alienating from the source. The only way we can communicate and consistently connect with the source is fasting. Am I communicating? It's not only prayer, fasting. So you cannot only rely on corporate fasting. There has to be what? It's not fasting. I knew a guy back then in Japan. They decided, say, for some reason, the guy consistently fast. And I'll get there. I'll give you some dynamics. Consistently fasting. Who guy now? You feel miserable for him. And our body cry. So no more is in Kasi. But he knew what was looking forward. Because he realized that this thing is not if I pick a phone and I say, hello, hello, and I get resolved. No. It hasn't happened that way. My company. Listen, there are people who have said, I'm going to help you. But when they woke up in the morning, their mind changed. Fasting facilitates both spiritual and numerical growth in churches. Fasting, it facilitates both. That is why in a church we have quarters that we fast. We fast every quarter. We're going to fast 7 days. First quarter, we've done our 7 days. Next quarter, 7 days. So all the four quarters, we fast about 22 days thereabout. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? So fasting, it breaks the power of the world and squeezes sin out of what? Our lives. Am I communicating? So it's very important. Let's read Isaiah 58 verse 6. It says that the underlying word there, Isaiah 58 verse 6, it says that, and I read, it says that, is it not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free? Somebody say oppressed go free. You see, and you know, there are some things we are oppressed here. It is only fasting. And oppression, it cut across several areas of our lives. Hallelujah. Families be over and ban to me and worry. The oppression. Families be over won't call and ye ye. The oppression. Families be over, nobody complete university. The oppression. Family be beyond to coin. The last place you get to is when you meet that white man sitting at the table asking you at the embassy, what are you going to do? That is it. You can try 7-8 times. You look at you. It's all the time. A oppression. And, you know, we as a church, you can't sit down and fold your arms and say, no, that is it. And sometimes we can track the pattern of oppression which is happening in our life. And until we understand that there is a dimension of fasting or a type of fast which is the Samuel's fast that deals with oppression upon our life, that we go into that fast and pray. We'll sit down, we'll fold our arms, we'll be there 45, 50 years, and then we'll look back and we'll realize that no, Yashri and Yoma Bebre. We'll begin to quote scripture that God gave Job double, and double will not be coming in our life, and we'll be there like, God, we think that you do not exist. It's not about you think that we do not. There are principles in the kingdom. There are rules in the kingdom. There are dimensions in the kingdom. If you do not understand, you'll be there like that, and things will pass by. People will look at you and say, you don't serve a true God. But no, your life doesn't determine whether he's true or he's not true, because he has the track record of blessing people. Am I communicating? Listen, in how do you conduct a Samuel fast? How do you conduct? I give you several steps and then we close. How do you conduct a Samuel fast? Now, number one, say obey a Samuel fast. These are the things you need to consider. Step one, call the body together. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. Somebody say Mizpah. And I will pray for you unto the Lord. So there is a dimension of Samuel faster. It's corporate. It's not personal. Am I communicating? It's corporate, but not what? Not personal. And until you may be you free moon. Hallelujah. And you may be you listen. There are some blessings that you can personally wage that war, but you never break through until you join a corporate body. Am I communicating? There are some fight, you can't fight it alone. I'm telling you. You see, the higher you go, the greater the battles are. The different dimensions of demons and spirit you encounter in life. So there are some battles you can't stand on your own. You have to be in a corporate body. And until Samuel, he said, gather all Israel to me. So sometimes the man of God declares 7 days fast. I say, Yahu pupo, because in that corporate fasting, your blessing is there. Am I communicating? So somebody will say that, oh, you know what? I have my own fasting. I've been fasting myself. You know what? You can't tell me how to fast. For me, every Tuesday I fast. Every Wednesday I fast. I'm not going to join it. But there is a blessing in corporate fasting. And that is part of the Samuel's fast. You don't just remove yourself from it. It says that call all the people of Israel. He said, call them to Mizpah. Somebody say Mizpah. It says, and I will pray for you unto what? The Lord. And that was Samuel stood as a priest, a judge, and a prophet. He stood as a priest, a judge, and what? And a prophet. Hallelujah. So what I want to say is that the result of individual and corporate fasting are distinctively different. Somebody say it's different. Say it's different. So being Sakachan is a personal fast now, you know, a different. And I'm sorry, you see, as soon as you fast, you're different. In the fasting, you see, you're different. Hallelujah. Listen, because we have found people and say, oh, I'm sorry, fasting. Oh, Jamo, maybe I'm here 2 days. Obviously, some even have targeted as reverend fasting. Is reverend fasting? Reverend saying fasting. Because on Betias ye, that there is a corporate blessing when we fast together. And Nyamia Shishenisa. So there are some blessings about or individual when you fast. And there is a blessing because there are some doors you can't break until we break it together. It may bind and loose for 10 years now. Omujina. Scripture say two are better than what? Than one. Am I communicating? And untina say, ye yeko ye hupupusa say. Because what ya say, hey, ye siabo mina ye fastia. Blessings be a woman. A dear baby, a mabon pia channel. Ye siabomoa, bibi besi, yami betinin in sa. Oh, meso. See a tias, yes, sir. Ye de ahoo binia dear. We join and then we fast together. Am I communicating? So, when you embark on a personal fast, you are submitting yourself individually to God. Please understand that. You are submitting yourself what? Individually what? To God. But corporate fasting makes a person responsible
for what God does for the entire church. Am I coming? So in 2024, if God says that city of his presence, I am coming to lift 5 people. And when we are fasting corporately, you have to know that in that five people God is blessing. Eradi, let it be me. Let me tell you something. We went for a meeting in prayer. And we're praying corporately as guys. Every time we pray. And I saw that it was like, I felt I was still where I was. You know, people will look at you and say, Sydney, you are gifted. Sydney, the grace of God. But I feel like it was still Jack. The bar was not, I was still where it was. One time, I heard God speak to me. He said, begin to pray. And he said, identify me among everybody. And I started praying that prayer. I said, Lord, identify me. Lord, identify me. Lord, identify me. And imagine, say, oh, sorry. And God sent his angel to come and bless. And everybody is saying, I don't have a man to put me in the pool. But now you pray a prayer. You say, Lord, and then my bad, sorry. Obia the expectation by it, but Lord, identify me and bless me. Am I communicating? Because a new automatic would desire. Am I speaking here? It's what? It's your desire and your... Listen, Jesus said, I've not seen this faith before. The woman said, even the crumbs, near the man crumb, I know, me and family. Said, what kind of faith is this? Listen, there are times God expects you to take that effort. That very step, say, already know. I want to be in that place of Jacob. I will hold you until you bless me. Am I communicating? How many of us are willing that as we understand this dynamism and this dimension of fasting, we'll go into it and say, Lord, as a corporate, you are blessing us corporately. But already, you meet me. And yes, I can. Lord, am I communicating? So when we come, Pastor, when we come together for a time of fasting and praying, then we realize that we have an obligation to each other. I realize that I have what? An obligation to you. And you have what? An obligation to me. So Samuel was creating a powerful sense of unity amongst the people of Israel. And that is why he said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. He was creating a sense of what? Of unity. Because my God, there is nothing that can stop us. There is no mountain we can't move. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So that was what Samuel was creating. He was unifying their mind and their heart together. Because fasting was very good to bring people together in unity. And when we be our fast year or train your minimum or kuntoka. And yeah, you're fasting, Papa Bino. Hallelujah. Pastor, you can bear me with when we did our dry fast. Yeah. Where is the strength to? It's not there. Hallelujah. Look at someone, tell the person, from today, please fast well. Hallelujah. Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, I'm going to run a bit quickly because I want to end the series today. And then we do our talk it over session, God willing. Galatians chapter 6, I say, bear ye one another burden so fulfill the law of Christ. Say, bear ye my burden. Now, by any sign, we say, is my burden your burden? Hallelujah. When I was, I woke up this morning and when I was driving to the office, your face just came to me and I started praying for you. And the Lord started speaking to me about something. I said, tonight when you come, after this meeting, I'm going to talk to you about
You see, some of us, we walk in a church and other people's burden are not your burden. And that's where you cannot go into a place of prayer and say, I pray for Reverend. You know, somebody said, oh, Reverend, oh no, be being here, no. I said, hey. He said, the man, he doesn't need anything. He's okay. He's fine. He doesn't. Why do I have to spend time and pray for him? Tell me, well, $1 million. Sanka memo bia. Grand bia. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. Or see. When he say, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He says, bear the word infirmity of what? Of the weak. You know, infirmity. Your weakness, your disease, your problems. Like, you know, what is really worrying you? It's there. It's in you. You try to get it out. It doesn't go. It says that we ought to bear the infirmities of the what? Of the weak. But do we do that? No, we don't do that. Hallelujah. Number two, or step two. Step one, I said call what? The body together. Hallelujah. I'm giving you the several steps through the Samuel's fast, how to conduct the Samuel's fast. Number one, I said call the body together. So sometimes, you know, this thing, we don't do it. There are times where Nana could say, Reverend, please, I want you to help me in fasting. This is my burden. Please, I'm fasting. Please, can you fast with me? So I leave my food and I join you. My communicate. May fasting 1 week. And I need you to support me. I need you to join me in fasting. Hallelujah. And then I forsake my food. And I join you and we fast together. Am I communicating? But there is this dimension we don't know about. Because, and then I'm a canoe. There are some mountains that you can't move them on by yourself. Bible says iron sharpened iron. Am I communicating? Okay, and go say be a ukrano mimikra, and then go say be a mimikrano unkra. It's here. So there are some dimensions be over you can't deal with it. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Number two of conducting the Samuel's fast: demonstrate true repentance. Demonstrate true repentance. You see, that is why air fasting be over in your resolve. And I want to summarize this because of time. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says 7 verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 2. It says that, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Gijareth-Jearim. Say Gijareth-Jearim. That the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They lamented. The word lamented means that they came to a place of what? Of true repentance. Am I communicating? That is the underlying word. The underlying word, they came to what? A place of what? Repentance. You see, let me give you a background. Their glory had departed 20 years. And these Israelites were in a place where they were actually what? In pain. And something had to happen to their life. And the entire nation was feeling the effect because they had neglected God. And the only thing that could have helped them was what? Fasting. Hallelujah. The only thing that could have helped them was what? Was fasting. I want you to write this thing down. Repentance is far more than tears. Please write it. Repentance is far more than tears. Write it. Repentance is far more than tears. Hallelujah. You see, Pastor, Real repentance will always have some action with it. Am I communicating? Real repentance will always have what? An action word with it. Let's read 1 Samuel. Let's read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3. Quickly. Please put it on the screen. Samuel. Sure, let's read together. Huh? It's on the screen. And Samuel what? Yes. Ashtaroth. Hallelujah. Yeah. Did you see anything there like put away strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you? It says that put away. So write this thing down. True repentance requires some things to be put away. True repentance requires some things to be put away. True repentance requires some things to be put away. In the New Living Translation, when it talks about put away, it's saying get rid. Am I communicating? If you read in the 1 Samuel 7, the NLT, say get rid of your foreign gods. Get rid of what? Of your, because your foreign gods, am I communicating? Hallelujah. Message Bible say get rid of the foreign gods and fertility goddess. Ground yourself firmly in God. So in Samuel fast, abstaining from food is an outward demonstration of an inward sincerity. How do we even say? You know, from the outward, it has to be what? Inward what? Sincerity. You need to be sincere from within. Am I communicating? So while we are in the mode of fasting and prayer, it can generally be accepted that God will prompt some things in our heart. And sometimes when we are fasting, God can point some things to you and tell you, because you are fighting with this person, that's why your blessings are delayed. Go and apologize and reconcile. And sometimes you are like, how is this going to be possible? Sometimes you are fasting and God will point you out that these are the things that you have to put away in your life because it's blocking your blessing. Am I communicating? Help me. Let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 to 33. Help me, church. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 to 33. Is it there? Let's read. How long? Now go to 23 for me. 20. Yeah. 10 what? Reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have what? I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set a knot all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when you fear cometh. Next verse. When you fear cometh as dissolution and your distraction cometh as whirlwind. When your distress and anguish cometh upon you. Next verse, please. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Continue. For knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We are reading to 33. Of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Next verse.
Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy themselves. Last verse. Let's read it loudly. But shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. True repentance always has positive result. Please write it down. True repentance always has positive result. Number three, or step three, the Daniel fast, conducting the Samuel fast. Number three, separate from secret sin. Separate from secret sin. You see, when the church comes together and begin to repent, the Spirit of the Lord will search us for secret sin. Because we live in the age where everything resolved around image and very little emphasis is placed on character. If the image fit, then society generally has little concern when the depth of the character is. Because the outward appearance is nice, but the inside is very, very bad. And this is the principle of the cleanup that Jesus mentioned to the Pharisees. Let's read Matthew 23:25 quickly, please. Have just about 5 minutes. Matthew 23:25-26. Media, help me. Let's read, church. Let's read. Extortion and excess. It says, within they are full of what? Extortion and what? Now, next verse. Let's read together. It says that what? Though blind Pharisee cleans first that is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Am I communicating? Listen, the inside is always important. And let me say this. No matter how powerful the worship may be, or the prayers, or the singing, or the preaching, if the spirit cannot interact with the spirit, then spiritual death will occur. If the spirit cannot interact with the spirit, then spiritual death will occur. And that is why the single principle in Samuel's fast is so crucial. God can bring light exactly to what is necessary for us to be delivered, but until He help us to expose some secret things in our life, and we have to separate ourselves from secret sin in Samuel's fast. Am I communicating? Number four, step four, quickly. And it correlates with step three, and that is have a corporate confession of sin. And sometimes we confess, say, there are some who hold the view that there is no such thing as corporate sin. They hold that sin is something that is done individual. Oh yes, that is true. It's valid. But scripture have several examples where one notes that the sin was confessed by a group and as a whole. So when we come together as a church, we say, Lord, have mercy upon us. I see some people lead prayer. Some say, okay, pray that Lord have mercy upon me. It's a good prayer. But there's a dimension to prayer where you say, Lord, have mercy upon us as a church. Am I communicating? Let me give you scripture. Numbers 14:40. It says that, and they arose early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. We will go up unto the place which the Lord had promised. For we have sinned. And the line word is that we have what? Have sinned. It's not I have sinned. We have what? Have sinned. You know what Achan did? One man, it cost the entire body. Am I communicating? And that was an individual. But there are times where it's about corporate sin. Hallelujah. We have sinned, and Lord have mercy upon us. Numbers 21:7. It says that, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Again, it says that we have what? Have sinned. Jeremiah 14:7. It says, O Lord, through our iniquities testify against us. Do thou it for the name's sake, for our backsliding and many, we have sinned against thee. Again in Jeremiah 14:7. Daniel chapter 5 verse 9. Put it there. It says, we have sinned. Daniel chapter 9 verse 5. So there is something called the corporate word, sin. Am I communicating? That needs to be what? To be confessed. Hallelujah. That when we come to a place of Samuel's fast, we need to understand this. Because Samuel 7 says, it says that, and they gathered together to Mizpah. They said, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. Am I communicating? Somebody say corporate sin. Say corporate sin. Step 5 of Samuel's fast. Acknowledge the power of the word. And I close with this. Acknowledge the power of the word. Acknowledge the power of the word. Let's read 1 Samuel 7 verse 3. Please, all of us, let's read together. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3. KJV. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of what? Is that not the word of God? Is that not the word of God? That is the power of what? Of his word. There is no revival in your life, in my life, and in the life of the church that there will not be any involvement of the word of God. Am I communicating? And during the early years of Samuel's life, the word of God was precious. And the underlying definition of this word is that it was very rare. When Samuel came to Israel, the word of God began to invest itself in his life. And Israel began to hear fresh word from heaven. So when you enter into a Samuel's fast, somebody say Samuel's fast, it is imperative that the word of God takes the first rate in the role of your life. When you go into a place of fire, you need to hear from God. Am I communicating? You need to don't just fast, get up. Thank you. I fasted 7 days. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, what did he speak to? Am I communicating? And sometimes God uses several mediums to speak to us. Hallelujah. When one note the great revival in scripture, the power of God was very clear. It was clear in the life of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 35 verse 1 to 4. Under Samuel, it was clear. Under Moses, it was clear. Under David, it was clear. And under Solomon, it was clear. Under Jehoshaphat, it was clear. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So many times in scripture, under Jehu, it was clear. Under Manasseh, it was clear. Even under Esther, it was clear. Look at somebody, say, God always speaks. Say, God always speaks. Hallelujah. And the last thing I give you, step 6, is that get in touch with the symbols of the sacred. And I'm going to just touch on it briefly. And then God willing, next week in our talk it over session, break it down for you. Hallelujah. I want you to write it down. Get in touch with the symbols of the sacred. Amen. Amen. Get in touch with the symbols of the sacred. I want you to bow down your head. I want you to put your right hand on where your heart is. And I want you to pray for 1 minute, just 1 minute. Pray that, Lord, help me in the area of fasting in my life. In 1 minute, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sidney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon. And shalom.